Everyone, welcome to another Tuesday huddle call, REI Vol huddle call. Today is Tuesday, September 1st, 2015. Welcome to the call. Excited to have you all. Opportunity for us to dialogue on deals, questions, thoughts on, you know, your market, deals that are coming together, and we'd love to hear stories. If you've got some good stories to share on some deals that are coming together or anything you want to share with the group, great opportunity to have that dialogue. We keep everybody muted just to keep the background noise out. If you have a question or you want to partake in the conversation, you can press star 5 on your phone, star 5, and Chris and I will actually see that and bring you into the call. And the way this works, for most of you, as I see those that are actually on here live, I see, don't see anybody that's new this week, so that you all know this, but as soon as we don't get any more questions, we'll pretty much end the call. So the call can be up to an hour. If you have any questions during the week, always email support@reivault.com. And we've got a large team. There's 27 people behind the scenes. Sometimes you'll get emails from Ryan. Ryan's actually about 6 people that handle Ryan. And so just as a little note to all of you. And all of us are interacting. And so Chris and I do see the questions that people have, but always email support@reivault.com. Even if you copy Chris and I, it's just we've got a system to manage it. And if you have a question regarding a deal that you need some help on, always email those to dealhelp@reivault.com. And then lastly, if you have any suggestions or feedback or recommendations for improvement, things that you'd like to be seen, see as additions to REI Vault, always email those to suggestionbox@reivault.com. So with that, welcome to the call. Chris, any updates for the week? Chris, do we lose you?
Oh, okay. No, I don't have anything on my end specifically to update. Okay. Sorry about that. I was muted. I muted myself for a second.
No problem. So I will we'll go ahead and open up the question line. You can press star 5 if you have a question. And here's the first one. This is coming from Art. So Art, 412 area code. You are live. How are you?
Great. How are you guys doing today?
Awesome.
Perfect.
That's good. That's a good thing. Hey, okay, I have a couple of questions regarding the marketing, and I'm not quite sure if there's a way to do this or not, but I'll just ask. I have an investor that is looking for strictly turnkey properties. And I was wondering if there's a way that we could tweak the marketing to find those type of properties for him.
Well, generally, those type of properties will tend to be in a particular price point. Like, is he giving you parameters? In other words, I'm looking to buy, you know, properties, you know, that for, say, 25K, put in 10K, and then rent them out for $750, $800 a month. Has he given you any of those parameters?
Now, the only parameters that he really wants are two. He wants a cap rate of at least 10% or better, and he wants at least a 75 LTV.
75% LTV. So he's getting he would be getting a conventional loan then? Is that what you're saying?
No, he's a cash buyer. Here's the background on it. The guy is in a corporate arena that owned 167 Chick-fil-A's.
Uh-huh.
And they sold them because of I guess the health care and Obamacare and all that good stuff, they just sold it. They sold them.
Mm-hmm.
So he has roughly $1 billion to invest, and that's his criteria. He's bought two properties from me over the weekend, and
mm-hmm.
I don't have a whole lot of turnkey properties. Most of mine are, you know, fixer-uppers. So I just was wondering, you know, I'd like to continue to feed this guy because he's a buyer. He's definitely a buyer.
The typical,
I mean, if you're looking,
the typical turnkey model is buying property. Most of these guys that are doing turnkey are buying properties that are, you know, $15,000 to $25,000, $30,000. They're putting 5 to 7 into them and then turning them into rentals or lease to own. So as Chris said, it's probably going to be the same marketing approach.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be the same type of list that we're already pulling because we're already pulling everything that has equity. So that criteria is already going to be there. It's really going to come down to targeting that price point. So we're probably already doing that. I don't know what you're, I don't know if we've limited, if you've got specific parameters with our, with the support team, but typically that would be just focusing. And it's a little difficult. Usually it's on size of the property, the square feet, or sometimes assessed value. So sometimes it's based on an assessed value range where, you know, we're really trying to market in a demographic on the price, the houses that are, you know, super cheap. So we got people like in Columbus, Ohio, they're focused really on the kind of the low end in specific zip codes where, you know, the price is going to be, they can pick those properties up for, you know, $25,000 and put $5,000 into them. So I think we're already marketing to that list for you.
Okay.
Art, if you've said that you're looking for properties that are priced in the $75,000 to $150,000 range, then we'd have to adjust that. We'd have to go down and start looking for properties kind of at the lower tier of the pricing. Make sense?
No, I don't want to do that because that's going to cut off my bread and butter. I mean, I'm like, ones I'm turning are basically 15 to 20, 30,000. You know, some are a little bit higher priced duplexes, you know, maybe 65,000, 70,000, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
But
so you're already there. I think you're already there. It's a matter of looking for properties that don't need a complete rehab. Most of these turnkey properties are just coming in and putting new carpet and paint on them and getting a renter and then turn them around. Chris, you want to add to that?
Well, the thing I would say is I probably would piggyback on what Gary said in that taking the existing calls that you have and seeing, you know, because if you're looking at a wholesale model where then there has to be a particular type of spread, but could there be other deals that are coming across your desk that are not the typical wholesale model? But however, when you pay out all the numbers, they make sense to this guy. And so then I would then continue, maybe see if with the current calls that you have, if you have existing leads that you could get over to him and continue to test his buying appetite, right? Because you don't want to go out and do another mailing or anything outside of what you're doing. You want to continue to test this guy and see if he bites on stuff. So I would just say, hey, are there existing calls that you have that you could potentially, you know, give to him that would make sense? And then just if he continues to buy, then maybe you could do something special for him. But I would definitely not take away from your bread and butter.
No, I'm not. I actually been going through my my leads, so the ones that I've kind of put to the side because they, you know, they didn't need any repairs, you know, and I have, you know, probably half a dozen of those. But again, they're you know, they want full retail value, you know. Some guys, you know, you've got a property in, I know this doesn't mean anything to you, but in Beachview and the street he's on, you know, I sold two properties on that street for $65,000, one for $40,000, and he wants $175,000 for his property, just to give you an idea of how whacked out he is. I'm trying to find the ones that I have in already existing that I haven't done anything with because I just didn't have somebody that was looking for those type of properties, so...
Yeah, Art. Mm-hmm. Art, here's another way to look at it. You may have this buyer may be willing to buy at a higher price than your standard rehabbers, right?
Oh yeah, he's willing to go up to about $500,000. You know.
So
one
way to look at it is really what you need is you need to have an estimate of rent. So on the property when you're looking at it, you need the estimate of rent per month. So let's just say, as an example, it rents for $700 a month. Okay.
Right.
You're going to need to estimate just rough guess how much work to get it up to rental unit. You know, $5,000, $7,000, just a very rough estimate. You got his 10% cap rate, and then you got the amount of money that you want to make, right? If you want to make $7,500. So let's just say, as an example, $700 a month in rent, and let's say it needs $5,000 worth of work. Well, that's going to, if he wants a 10% return on the money, that's a maximum price, purchase price of $79,000. And if you subtracted $7,500 off of that,
right,
you got your offer price. So your offer price, you know, with a rent value of $700, work of $5,000 to get it up to par, you know, your maximum allowable offer on that property is going to be maxed out at $71,500. Super easy calculation for you. So you need rent, you need work, and obviously you need to know how much you want to make per deal. So if it's $5,000 or $7,500, so you could now run all of your deals through that new calculator. And Chris and I can either send you a little sample of this, and we could post it on the REI Vault site, so you could use this. I think Chris already has one.
I take this $700 a month in rent, which is $8,400, and then I add $5,000 to that, and then $7,500.
You got the first part right. $700 in rent,
right?
Annualized, that's $8,400,
right?
Divide that by his cash on cash return. So divide $8,400 divided by 0.1.
By 0.1.
Yeah, 0.1, which is 10%.
Okay, so that's
really $84,000.
Right.
Right, minus the $5,000 in work and minus what you want to make. That comes up with your price. Chris, did I do the math quickly on that? I think that's accurate.
Yeah, 71.5.
Yeah, 71.5. So just plug those things in and boom, you got your answer. You know, normally you'd be flipping those properties to somebody at maybe $60,000 or $50,000 or $40,000, and now all of a sudden you've got somebody that you can flip at a higher price because they're looking for the cash on cash return.
So rent.
Yeah, they're not looking at the potentially you have somebody like, you know, that, like Gary said, they're willing to pay more than what your typical buyer. A typical buyer may look at that same deal in that market and say, "Oh, that's not a deal. Why would I ever, you know, want to buy that deal?" But that guy will see it and say, "That's a deal for me," because he has a different buying criteria.
Yeah. And if he wants 10% cash on cash return, you know, I would actually increase your number to, instead of 10% cash on cash, I would increase it to like 12% to cover, you know, some of the basic costs, on the property, you know, that he's going to have, taxes and insurance. So that would drop the price a little bit, but you've got the construct and it sounds, and so I don't think you have to change your marketing at all.
Okay.
Well, keep us posted.
Cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Good,
sure.
Good
I'm
news.
I'm going to put you back on hold, Art, and we can bring you back in. Here is, seven. It looks like Graham or Sarah. I'm going to bring them in. Graham or Sarah in Florida, you're on.
Hey, guys.
Graham.
Hey, Graham.
Hey, so I've had this problem for years now, and it's happening again. It's just thing we do, but someone will call us, we'll call them back, and it may take whatever amount of calls to get that initial contact back, calling them back, and they give us all their information, and then we have trouble getting the hold of them the next time to whatever it is, make the offer, set up the appointment, whatever that might be, to make the offer, and it can take sometimes 2 weeks of calling, and I know it's just part of tracking people down, and, you know, these are the people that usually get a buy from us that haven't sold the house for retail or taken care of it because they're that way. But do you guys have a method you do between, like, after you get their information and then getting a hold of them again the second time to, you know, actually make the offer or meet them in person to make the offer?
You know what? Something that was suggested to us.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me? Oh. You know, one suggestion that was given to us, because we also experienced the same issue, you know, these people disappear. And, you know, it could very well be that they talking, you know, if you think about it, they're going through and they got a stack of cards or they're, whatever their scenario is, they got choices. So they might be hitting you, then you tell them and call them back, then they might get somebody else on the line, and then somewhere down the line, it could be that maybe they decide that, hey, maybe somebody else makes them a better deal. Could be that life gets in the way. One suggestion would be is to set an appointment with them right there on the spot to kind of get them feeling that they're committed, and then you can always call them back. So let's say I'm talking to somebody today, and you still got to do your research, but, you know, you could set an appointment. You could double book yourself in a couple appointments per day, knowing that, hey, I know a couple of these deals are not going to pan out. But then if that person believes that you're going to be going over the house, if they believe that, hey, it looks like they're going forward, then are they more likely to return your call back? Are they more likely to maybe, shoo away somebody else that maybe calls them afterwards, right, because they believe that they have a deal with you? And they can always call them back the next day, hey, listen, I know we got an appointment, I was just looking over the numbers and here's kind of what I see initially. And you can always kind of either cancel the appointment or continue with it, whatever the case may be. But that's one way that we spoke with somebody and they said that they were having success with just being, you know, right away setting that appointment with them on the spot and giving them that sense of commitment and that somebody's looking like they're serious about buying their house.
Right.
Do you think that would be helpful?
Yeah, definitely. That's helpful. There's an issue there, but I can get it figured out, is because the person who takes the information down is different from the person who's going on the appointment. Those people have to be in communication with setting the appointments. But yeah, that makes sense.
I got a couple other recommendations. And this is purely, I mean, this is just sales. This is classic sales training. But you always have to give the caller a reason to call you back. So if it's just, hey, I'm calling you, it's got to have some sort of call to action, something that is enticing for them to want to call. So number one, you should always, you should try, if you've got somebody taking the initial call, you should try to get the email address. And you should also, so we can actually email you an offer or whatever it is. See if you can get the email address. You should always ask what is the best time to call. Is it the morning? Is it the night? That'll always help. It actually builds a little rapport. And then when you call them back, don't let a lot of time go by, but call them back and say, we've got the package that we promised you, or have something, gosh, Mary, I'm calling you back. I've got the package that we promised to get out to you. I wouldn't call it an offer. I would say package. Offer can be a little bit intrusive sometimes. So I would just say the package or the information that you requested that we want to get out to you. And I just had one more question for you before we send this out. And so always give them a reason for them calling you back, that it's not just, high pressure sales. The other thing that you could do is try to capture, and this just depends on who's talking to the person initially, but if you could find something personal about the person, they were, having dinner, they had some friends over, whatever it might be, that sometimes when you're leaving the message, you can say, I spoke to you and you were talking about, your grandma that you had over for dinner. Just give them some sort of reminder of who you are to bring them back. If it's personal, that's rapport building, like you're a friend of the family. And it doesn't matter whether it's, a different person calling back. Those couple of things will help. Even if you basically call them back and said, I think we may have had the wrong email address, you provided us the email address, or you said the best time to call you was after 8 o'clock. We wanted to get you, we have the package that we promised to get out to you. And if you have just a moment before I send this, I have one more question. And that will work. And it'll work most of the time. So I would try that along with what Chris said. And don't let too much time go by. It's the whole rule, most deals, 80% of the deals happen between the 5th and 12th interaction. It's really important to just even have the interaction with the seller. It's like Art said last week that, Art will have multiple conversations with people. It's really important, right? Half the deal is just building the rapport, because everybody feels like they're getting scammed. So the more interaction that you have, and sometimes you can call, a couple of days in a row, but be real careful. As soon as you call every single day, it becomes,
you'll really turn them off. So, you know, you call them a couple of times in a row and then let a couple of days go by. And always promise that you've got this package, you know, for them that you want to get out with their name on it, but you're just missing one piece just to confirm. And then you can get it out to them as promised. And sometimes I'll do that, and we'll do that, even if we don't even have anything. It, you know, it'll be like, oh, they've got something for me. And
right.
That really helps.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
We'll even, by the way, we'll do that, and I'll do that, and I've done it for years, on somebody that doesn't give up the price. You know, Justin last week said, what happens when somebody won't come up with the price, and they want you to come up with the price? Well, sometimes you can call them back and ask them more questions. To just build some more rapport. You know, you call them a second or a third time to ask them a few more questions. Hey, I wanted to get this off this package out to you as promised, but I just have a couple more questions just so I can get everything right and over to you and put in the mail. And it also gives you the opportunity to ask for an email address.
Perfect. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Cool. Any other questions? You can press star 5. Star 5. Well, it doesn't look like we have any questions. Chris, anything else you want to cover? Looks like we may have a short call today.
No, I don't actually. I don't have anything else on my list.
Okay. Well, we'll do the awkward silence for another 15 or 20 seconds and probably wrap up for the day. I love the awkward silence. It actually works really well sometimes with sellers.
It doesn't really work that well with my wife, though.
It's like a Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David. Sometimes you got to watch that for all kinds of interesting techniques. No, I'm just kidding. All right, guys. Looks like we are done for the day. So a couple notes. We will not have a call next week. So no call. I'm actually going to be traveling. Chris is, I believe, on the road as well. I'm actually going to be fly fishing in Montana, and so I'll be back. But so we will not be doing a call on September 8th. I take that back. September 8th, no call. And we will be closed, REI Vault, Still Team Live, and the team will be off on Labor Day. A note will go out to everybody. So have a great week, and we'll chat with you in 2 weeks from today. All right. Take care.